It took them 15 days of hard travel to reach the tiny garrison and remount station of Fane, a day's travel south of Avaris. They'd changed horses 4 times on the road. Taita used the royal requisition order that Naja had given him to replace the worn-out animals and to replenish their supplies at military garrisons and camps that they passed along the way. Since leaving Jebel Nagara, they discussed their plans endlessly, knowing that they were pitted against the might of Pharaoh Trok-Uruk. The officers they spoke to at the garrisons estimated that Trok now had 27 fully trained and equipped regiments at his disposal, and almost 3,000 chariots. To expose this multitude, they had a wagon showing the effects of long, hard service, with a back wheel that showed a marked propensity to fall off at the most inappropriate times, and bodywork held together with twine and leather strips. There were only 4 of them, Nefer and Meron, Hilto and Bay, but the 5th was Taita. "The Magus is worth 27 regiments at least," Hilto pointed out. "So we're evenly matched against Trok." Hilto knew the captain in charge of the encampment at Thane, a scarred and grizzled old warrior named Soko. Long ago they'd run the Red Road together. They'd fought, roistered and hawed together. After they'd reminisced for an hour and shared a pot of sour beer, Hilto handed him the requisition scroll. Soko held it upside down at arm's length and looked wise. "See the cartouche of the Pharaoh?" Hilto touched the seal. "If I know you at all, Hilto, and by Horus I do, you probably drew that pretty picture yourself." Soko handed the scroll back to Hilto. "What you need, you old rogue?" They selected fresh horses from the herd of several hundred in the remount herd. Then Taita went over the ranks of parked chariots in the garrison pool that had just been sent out from Makers in Avaris. He selected 3 vehicles, and they harnessed the fresh horses. When they left then, Taita was driving the old wagon. Meron, Hilto, and Nefer each drove a chariot, while Bay brought up the rear, herding 20 spare horses. They did not head directly for Avaris, but made a detour to the east of the city. On the edge of the desert, there was a small oasis used by the Bedouin and by merchant caravans heading out to and returning from the Orient. While the others unloaded the fodder they'd carried from Thane in the wagon, hobbled the horses, and greased the wheel hubs of the new chariots, Taita went to barter with the Assyrian master of the caravan that was encamped nearby. He bought an armful of dirty, tattered clothing, and 20 woolen rugs woven in the land along the further sea. They were inferior workmanship and material, but he was forced to pay an extortionate price for them. "That Assyrian ape is a cutthroat and a robber," he muttered, as they loaded the carpets onto the wagon. "Why do we need them?" Nefer wanted to know, but Taita pretended not to hear the question. That night, Taita dyed his mane of silver hair with an extract of mimosa bark, which altered his appearance dramatically. In the darkness of early morning, they left Bay in charge of the herd of horses and the chariots, climbed into the dilapidated wagon, and, sitting high on the pile of dusty carpets, headed west towards Avaris. They were dressed in the rags and cast-offs that Taita had procured. Taita wore a long robe and sash, and the lower half of his face was veiled, in the fashion of a citizen of Ur of the Chaldees. With his dyed dark hair, he was unrecognizable as the Magus. It was evening when they reached the royal city of the north. There was a permanent encampment of several thousand souls outside the walls, mostly beggars, itinerant players, foreign traders, and other riff-raff. They set up camp among them, and early the next morning they left Meron to watch the wagon and went to join the throng waiting outside the city for the gates to open at sunrise. Once they were past the city guard, Hilto went to tour the taverns and brothels in the narrow streets of the old quarter, where he hoped to find some of his cronies and former comrades in arms, and gather the latest news from them. Taita took Nefer with him, and they made their way through the crowded streets of the awakening city to the palace gates. Here they joined the beggars, tradesmen, and supplicants. Taita made no effort to gain entry to the palace. Rather, they spent the morning listening to the chatter of those around them and gossiping with other idlers. At last, Taita struck up a conversation with a merchant from Babylon, dressed in similar style to himself, who introduced himself as Nintura. Taita spoke the Akkadian language like a native of Mesopotamia, which was why he'd chosen this particular disguise. The two shared a pot of coffee, brewed with rare and expensive beans imported from Ethiopia, and Taita exerted all his wiles to charm Nintura, who had been loitering outside the palace for the last 10 days, waiting for his turn to display his wares to Trok's new bride. He had already paid the exorbitant bakshish demanded by the palace vizier to be allowed to enter the presence of the young consort, but many others were ahead of him. "They say that Trok has been cruelly treated by his young wife. She won't allow him into her bed," Nintura chuckled. "He's wild for her, like a stag in rut, but she keeps her legs crossed and the door to her chamber locked. Trok is trying to win her favours with expensive gifts. They say he will refuse her nothing. Also, she buys everything that's offered to her, and then to spite him, she immediately resells it for a fraction of what he was forced to pay, and distributes the proceeds to the poor of the city." He slapped his knees and roared with laughter. "They say she buys the same things over and over, and Trok keeps paying." "Where is Trok?" Taita asked. "Oh, he's campaigning in the south," Nintura replied. "Stamping out the flames of rebellion, but no sooner does he turn his back than they flared up again behind him." "Whom should I approach to enter the presence of this Queen Mintaka?" "Oh, the palace vizier. Soleth is his name. Fat, gilded freak." Nintura had not realized Taita's own physical status. Taita knew Soleth only by reputation, and that he was one of the secret brotherhood of eunuchs. "Where can I find him?" Taita asked. "It'll cost you a gold ring just to enter his presence," Nintura warned him. Soleth was sitting beside the lotus pond in his own walled garden. He did not rise when one of the harem keepers brought Taita to him. The Hyksos had so forsaken their ancient customs and taken to Egyptian ways that they no longer kept their wives sequestered in the zenana. The eunuchs still exercised much of their former power over the royal women, but when suitably chaperoned, their charges were allowed much freedom. They could walk abroad, sail on their pleasure barges on the river, have merchants visit them to display their wares, or dine, sing, dance, and play games with their friends. Taita made a dignified salutation as he introduced himself to Soleth under an assumed name. He followed that with the recognition sign of the brotherhood, crooking both his little fingers and touching them together. Soleth blinked with surprise and ran his eyes down Taita's lean frame. He did not have the shape or look of a eunuch. Nevertheless, he waved to Taita to seat himself on one of the cushions opposite him. Taita accepted the bowl of sherbet a slave offered, and they talked for a while of seemingly trivial matters, but swiftly they established Taita's credentials and common acquaintances within the brotherhood. Without seeming to do so, Soleth was studying Taita's features thoughtfully, looking beyond the veil and the dyed hair. Slowly recognition bloomed in his eyes, and at last he asked softly, "In your travels, you might have met the famous Magus known through both kingdoms and beyond as Taita." "I know Taita well," Taita agreed. "Perhaps as well as you know yourself?" Soleth asked. "At least as well as I know myself," Taita affirmed, and Soleth's chubby face creased in a smile. "Say no more. What service can I perform for you? You need only ask."